This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. There's no public progress toward ending the government shutdown and no known talks between the parties to find a compromise. President Trump has a meeting scheduled with senators, but Capitol Hill correspondent Nicole Killian reports only from one party.
Republican senators have been invited to the White House to meet with President Trump for lunch. Oftentimes, Republican senators have weekly lunches where they hear from prominent speakers, but in this case, we know that they will be sitting down to lunch with President Trump, likely in the Rose Garden. Of course, this comes as we are now entering the third week of the government shutdown.
GOP House Speaker Mike Johnson has kept the House in recess for a month. Breaking news from Japan as the Japanese parliament elected ultra-conservative Sanai Takeuchi as the country's first female prime minister. She replaces Shigeru Ishiba, who was forced to resign. Two of President Trump's envoys are back in Israel to keep the Israel-Hamas peace plan moving forward and to shore up the ceasefire. Correspondent Deborah Pata reports from Israel.
U.S. mediator Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner met with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The planned visit was to discuss the next steps in the peace process, but it was also an opportunity to make sure Israel and Hamas keep the ceasefire on track.
It's being called a tragedy averted in Atlanta. CBS's Skylar Henry reports a man named Billy Joe Cagle was stopped before he could hurt anybody at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport.
Police received a warning that Cagle was headed over with plans to shoot up the airport with an AR-15 assault rifle. He made the threat on a social media live stream. A family member saw it, then contacted police.
Put your hands behind your back.
The arrest was made after police discovered the weapon loaded with 27 bullets inside the suspect's car. Police described Cagle as mentally challenged.
He's facing multiple charges. Fans of the Toronto Blue Jays have much to celebrate.
For the first time in 32 years, the Toronto Blue Jays are headed back to the World Series.
1-0 pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Left field and deep. A Rosarena turns. Gone! A Springer dinger!
The call courtesy of the Blue Jays radio network. Outfielder George Springer erased a 2-0 deficit with that three-run blast in the seventh to help the Blue Jays beat the Mariners 4-3 in the decisive Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. Erica Herskowitz for CBS News.
The Blue Jays will host the Los Angeles Dodgers in Game 1 Friday in Toronto. President Trump honored the College World Series champion LSU Tigers and the NAIA College Baseball champion LSU Shreveport Pilots in a joint event which was held at the White House. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
The Bucks are ready to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks kick off their season at home this Wednesday night when they take on the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum, and it'll be the first time they face off against former Buck Chris Middleton, who they traded to Washington last season. Doc Rivers says they're planning a special video tribute to Middleton during the game. How come?
Because he's a Buck for life, no matter where he's at. Pat Connaughton's a Buck for life, Brooke Lopez, and so we lost three of those guys from last year. Chris will be the first one coming back. And, you know, the Milwaukee fans are phenomenal. So, you know, it's so funny. The one thing I'm not worried about is, like, usually the question, if this was a lot of other places, are you think the fans going to boo? Of course not. They're not. We traded him. He won a title for us, and he's a Buck, and he's part of this community. Good as he was off on the court, I thought he was a superstar off the court, him and his wife, with all the things they did for the community.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, passing showers, cold and windy. Low tonight in the mid-40s, high tomorrow in the mid-50s. At times, wind gusts above 30 miles an hour. Temps slowly warm through the rest of the week. Currently 49 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Yes, Pat Kreitlow will be joining us after 9:30. I hope you can join us too.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey, it's Dan Haney. Join me weekday mornings between 6 and 9 as 540 WAUK presents All News All Morning. We start the day with everything you need to feel informed. Stuart J. Waddles has Milwaukee and local news 3 times an hour, followed by Leslie Lotto from the Civic Media State News Desk, CBS News, Mike Clemens in sports, traffic and weather, money and market updates. Start your morning drive with All News All Morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
You're listening to Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program on this Monday, October 20th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along here. Big hour ahead. Many thanks to Brittany Carloni of WisconsinWatch.org for being here in hour number 2. Hour number 1. I'm half loopy. You understand, Zommers? Because I tried to lay low this weekend. Mom was in town on Saturday. Caught lunch with her on the west side of town. Because, boy, you do not want to be downtown Saturday.
No, you did not.
With the No Kings rally. And then you had Ohio State in to beat up on Wisconsin. And the Farmers. And so it was and you got John Nolan down to one lane in either direction. It was the definition of a traffic nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
In Madison on Saturday.
Yeah, one of my roommates was at the No Kings rally, and he said that, you know, it was a huge 2 parallel streams. People going one way, all wearing red and white to Camp Randall. And then everybody else crazy outfits going the other way. And eventually he was like, okay, this is way too slow, and just went home.
Really?
He didn't go. He hadn't eaten enough.
Oh, did you go?
I did not. I was visiting family.
Oh, that's right. You were in Manitowoc this weekend. I had thought about going, but I did not go. I laid low, except I went and had a lovely lunch with Mom on the far west side, out in Middleton, in CP territory, as a matter of fact. And otherwise, I laid low. I'm trying to. My voice is still not 100%. As I said to you all last Friday. And just, you know, I don't get like flu. I don't get that kind of sick often, which I'm very thankful for. But when I do get something, it's bizarre stuff. And so I was diagnosed last Friday with a salivary gland stone. I already have kidney stones. Now I have the same type of calcium stone. You get these apparently in your salivary glands. And so my left side of my lower jaw is kind of swollen up, and it's kind of the lymph node is kind of, and it's affecting my voice. And I told you all last week, the doctor, God love him, I said, how do you get that? And he goes, I don't know, bad luck? Well, I did some research over the weekend. Well, like legit, like the Cleveland Medical Hospital and the like Mayo Clinic.
All that good stuff.
And it turns out that if you do a lot of, I should say do, sound like I'm doing coke. If you take a lot of acetaminophen.
Or antihistamine.
I'm sorry. Yeah, antihistamine.
No, don't go on the Tylenol train. No.
Antihistamine, which is, and I have allergies, and so I've used Claritin like it was, you know, candy for years, trying to, you know, keep my allergies at bay. Well, apparently a lot of antihistamine, because it dries up your mucus and it makes it thicker in your saliva. That can bring on salivary gland stone. So I think I've given myself this, trying to stay away from allergies. And so now I'm not using that. And he said, the only thing I can really do is suck on sour candy. And so I'm doing Sour Patch Kids and water all weekend. So I laid low after lunch with mom on Saturday. And then my friends, Jonathan, Allison Klein, and their son Parker, we went to the Red and White Badger basketball game, and finally something to be happy about with Badger athletics. So that was a good time.
That's good. And, you know, I do think that the doctor was ultimately right. It is bad luck because you have crappy allergies, and you were unlucky there.
So anyway, I talked to the doctor this morning, and now we're going to try a course of antibiotics to see if, because, well, he's one of these, and I get it. You know, some doctors are like, whatever, and then others, oh, I don't want to do that. He's one of these that, it's not my normal doctor. And, you know, well, I'm really leery about giving antibiotics, but maybe we should try this. I said, yes, let's do that. Let's try this. So now after the show, I got to go pick up the old antibiotics. Reminds me of my days back in college. Got some antibiotics, cleared it right up. All right. Anyway, that's enough about Todd's medical conditions. It's 11 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Let's try this. Time once again for our new segment, Wisconsin Fun Fact.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of beauty, with your hillsides and your plains.
That's right. Time once again for Wisconsin Fun Fact. For today, October 20th, on October 20th, 1940, a record-breaking muskellunge, i.e. muskie, was caught on the Chippewa flowage near Hayward, Wisconsin. We've been there. Been there, our friends Jane and Greg, Hayward, Wisconsin. The muskie weighed 69 pounds, a fact that seventh grade me wishes that he'd known. That's right. That's how we play Wisconsin Fun Fact. I like that.
That music is a fun fact.
That's a fun fact, right?
Tell all your friends.
Seventh grade me sitting in Ken Lewis's class wishes that I had known. He taught me a lot of great things. I don't believe we ever caught or talked about the record muskie lunge.
I think there is one word that is most appropriate to use to respond to this fact, and that is nice.
Nice, yes. Very nice indeed. All right, let's see. Should we do the thing? Should we? I mean, there's so much news to talk about. Let's as long as we are on the No Kings, let's talk a minute more about that, because there was all kinds of hype and build up to this by Republicans and MAGA that it was going to be, Hamas, anti-American haters, all that. Well, it turned out no. A lot of American flags, a lot of silly costumes, as Zomer said, all participating and saying, look, we're still America. We're not going to be ruled by any dictator, as former Joint Chiefs of Staff General Milley said. We're just not going to do. We're going to stand up to a lot of these terrible things that the Trump administration has done, which is ignoring the Constitution. So Mike Johnson, little Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson, went on ABC's This Week program with Jonathan Carl yesterday, and he had to admit, pretty peaceful. Here's Mr. Speaker.
So let's start with the No Kings rallies. You called these hate America rallies. What do you mean by that?
Well, that collection of folks that I listed were certainly part of it. We congratulate them on a apparently violent free speech exercise. I was a First Amendment lawyer for 20 years. We defend that right. But the irony of the message is pretty clear for everyone. If President Trump was a king, the government would be open right now. If President Trump was a king, they would not have been able to engage in that free speech exercise out on the mall, by the way, which was open because President Trump hasn't closed it. In the last shutdown, 2013 era, President Obama closed the National Mall. It closed all the national parks, didn't allow people to engage in all this. So, I mean, they needed a stunt. They needed a show. Chuck Schumer needs cover right now. He's closed the government down because he needs political cover, and this was a part of it.
Speaker Mike Johnson admitting that, well, you know, I have to congratulate them. They were peaceful, and it wasn't Hamas, and it wasn't Antifa, and it wasn't terrible. It was actually very fun and safe. Americans simply exercising their First Amendment rights.
Who'd have thunk?
Who'd have thunk? not to be outdone, Donald J. Trump flying back from a round of golf at Mar-a-Lago in Florida yesterday on the plane was asked about the No Kings rally as well.
What is your response to the protests?
Who are you with?
I'm with AP.
With AP?
What's your response to the protests over the weekend, the No Kings protests?
I think it's a joke. I looked at the people. They're not representative of this country. And I looked at all the brand new signs paid for, I guess it was paid for by Soros and other radical left lunatics. It looks like it was. We're checking it out. The demonstrations were very small, very ineffective, and the people were whacked out. When you look at those people, those are not representative of the people of our country.
Mr. President, besides San Francisco...
By the way, I'm not a king. I'm not a king. I work my ass off to make our country great. That's all it is. I'm not a king at all.
Donald Trump calling No Kings people whacked out. Whacked out. And saying we're very small. 7 million people, 2 million more than came out in June at the No Kings rally. So they're only growing. And our very own Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air with Greg Bach this morning was listening to their show. Jane participated. And she was talking about that in Waukesha or Milwaukee, wherever she was at, she ran into people that are Republicans that were there as well, saying, look, we voted for this guy, but this ain't what we signed up for. So it's not a bunch of whacked out people. By the way, saying that George Soros or people, you know, gave them or created these signs that people had. So many great. It reminded me of College Game Day. Sign, everywhere sign. My favorite sign, and I believe this was in Madison or Milwaukee. I saw a lot of different things over the weekend. This is my favorite sign. Somebody had a sign that said, quote, Mike Johnson blocked me on Grindr.
That's pretty good.
Mike Johnson blocked me on Grindr. That was one of my favorite signs of the No Kings rally this weekend. Let's go quickly. Go ahead, Zomber. What do you got?
Also, Mike Johnson, did you ever do like projects and presentations in school? Like people can make signs.
Yeah,
as it turns out. I guess that's more to Trump, but
as it turns out, let's go quickly to Charles, listening on WAUK in Milwaukee. Charles, thanks for calling. What say you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So my wife and I drove down and did the rally in Milwaukee, and
instead
of the one in Oconomowoc walk in, and we're not whacked out. we're Americans. Fighting for democracy, and it was great to be amongst the human race. People from all different backgrounds were there, old, young, different nationalities. There was no hate speech. Tons of people. So I'm not sure what they're talking about. I think they're still butt hurt because there were no issues.
Right.
You know, all of these people were able to come together. Yeah, all these people were able to come together and try to celebrate rooting for democracy and saying that, hey, we just can't sit back and allow our democracy to run away. It's weird that they Republicans say to complain, oh, this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. And they end up happening.
Right.
Project 2025. Almost 50% of that has taken place already.
You know,
well, Trump wasn't going to do this. Well, he's done that. And so they burn me up with this. Well, this is not going to happen. And well, these things are happening.
Right. Charles, I'm up against the clock, but thank you for calling, my friend, at AUK. Let's go to Mark in Purdesac, listening on WMDX in Madison. Mark, got about a minute. What say you?
Yeah, there was well over 400 people at the bridge over the Wisconsin River at Sauk City here. I saw one estimate over 600 people were there.
Wow.
And it just, but even at 400, it's incredible. And I didn't see very many professionally made signs. Everybody's making their own homemade signs. And you mentioned the song Signs. Everyone said, how does that song end? The guy made his only very own song. Thank you, Lord, for thinking of me. I'm alive and doing fine.
Right.
And we have to, you know, and Donald Trump is not our Lord. He is not our king. And he was coming back from Vegas for playing golf once again. What is this? How many times has he played golf since he's been president?
Right. I agree. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. I'm going to tell you, Trump was right. Johnson was right. There was one No Kings rally that went very, very wrong that could have caused a lot of injury. And we're going to expose it on this show on the other side, as well as what's worse. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
540 WAUK, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, and home to the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's very creative and very good. Tell us what your favorite sign was. We are going to get to, and look, I don't admit this very often, but Donald Trump said this. Mike Johnson said it. Several MAGA Republicans said before the weekend that there was going to be trouble, that people could be harmed. Things could go terribly wrong, and in one instance, it did. They were right. We're going to expose it. I'm going to tell you why Trump and Mike Johnson were right about this. It was very dangerous. I'm going to tell you why. But first, right now, time for what's worse. Let's go. Time once again for what's worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard on all 10 news talk sports stations of the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. Don't worry, I'm really going to tell you why I agree with Trump and Johnson, why they were right about the dangers of the No Kings rally. We're up against the clock. We got to get this in. All right, here we go. Timely indeed. A lot of people were out partying this weekend at the No Kings rally, both dancing and singing. So today's category, what's worse, bad dancing or bad singing? Bad dancing or bad singing? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Or you can text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it today. Go to your Apple or Android device, your app store. Type in Civic in the search bar, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up, little CM logo. Click on that. Takes less than a minute to download, and it is free, gratis, cetera. Won't cost you a dime. It's what Gail King over there at CBS calls a deal. The Civic Media app, get it today. What's worse, bad dancing or bad singing? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Zomers, I particularly, for those watching on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twix, X, I particularly enjoyed the graphic today that CP has come up with. What's worse, bad dancing featuring Donald Trump doing his white person biting the lip, his hand clenched going back and forth, doing that move to YMCA, apparently, or bad singing, which I don't know that I agree with this. They have a 1970-something era photo of Sonny Bono, of the great duo Sonny and Cher, but just Sonny Bono, with his great mustache, his open collar, his collared shirt, his collars are as big as 737 wings, his gold chain. So Sonny Bono now has been called out by the people as bad singing. What's worse, bad singing or bad dancing? 855-752-4842. Zobbers?
I can see why people would say that. I mean, he has a distinctive voice that some people might not say is very good, but it also fits the songs they do.
Yeah.
And he can hit notes. It's not like he's like, over the place.
Our friend Jeff Perry could probably tell us exactly. I'm sure Sonny had some solo hits, but of course his biggest hits came with his wife and then ex-wife, Cher. And I used to watch the Sonny and Cher show back in the day. It was a funny program.
I heard that.
I wasn't even thought of at that point in my life. No, you weren't. Sonny and Cher. Joe, watching on YouTube, says the bad singing pick should be of Roseanne belting out the national anthem. Yes, Joe.
Now that is some legendary bad singing.
That was bad singing. 100% agree. What's worse, bad singing or bad dancing? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. John, listening on WISS in Oshkosh, beautiful Oshkosh. John saying bad singing is worse. I can turn my chair, but can't shut off my ears.
Little typo, but...
I'm glad I stopped myself. Anyway, he didn't mean that. It was a typo. Yes, you're right. You can't shut off your ears there. Steve in Mount Horeb, listening to WMDX, says bad singing is worse. I enjoy watching bad dancers. I get a chuckle out of watching them flounder around. Len in Madison on WMDX says bad singing is worse than bad dancing, as it's easier to close my eyes than plug my ears. Cameron Appleton said in Oshkosh on WISS, my favorite sign. Oh, that's favorite signs. That. Oh, okay, very good. Let's see here. So I think we're caught up on the what's worse. What's worse, bad dancing or bad singing? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Now, I'm not going to say I'm a great dancer. My best dancing days are probably behind me. But my sister and I used to be a pretty good duo on the dance floor. We could dance.
I can see
well.
That. You know, yeah. the sibling relationship.
Well, she's a very good dancer. And you know, she took dance class from the Betty Hayes School of Dance.
I took dance classes, but it didn't take.
Didn't take. Can't you do like traditional, like waltzes or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, that was more what it was, or like tap dance and stuff. But oh, sure. Also, yeah. I did it, I mean... I haven't taken them since the major like growth spurts. Uh-huh. I don't
You're
think
smaller.
I could.
Yeah. Bad singing. That's uncomfortable because it's uncomfortable. Like I remember I'm not going to name names, years and years and years ago. There was a Christmas Eve service where this one individual sang Ave Maria and like sang all the verses and it was tragically bad. And my sister and I sitting there in the pew, we're having to bite our tongue and because of, you know, we wanted to laugh because it was so bad.
Well, Trump would have danced to that. He loves
it. Right. And she thought it was, of course, fantastic. So that's uncomfortable for the audience when you're caught in a situation of bad singing. Mark at Prairie Sack says a revolution without dancing or singing is a revolution not worth having. Like the song says, it doesn't matter if it's not good for anyone else to hear. Sing a song. Come on back. We will tell you why Trump and Johnson were right about the No Kings protest. It was dangerous. We'll reveal it on the other side. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media. Time now for Pam Jahnke, Midwest Farm Report. Don't go away.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Now, hear all news all morning, weekdays from 6 until 9, from 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
CBS News Brief. The government shutdown is now in its 21st day. As Capitol Hill correspondent Nicole Killian reports, neither party has budged towards compromise.
Republican leaders have been calling on Democrats to join them to temporarily fund the government, but Democrats continue to insist that in order to earn their votes, Republican leaders must come to the table and address the rising costs of health care.
Vice President J.D. Vance is heading to the Middle East to help shore up the Israel-Hamas ceasefire. Correspondent Deborah Patta.
Both Hamas and Israel accuse the other of violations, leaving the already shaky ceasefire teetering. As mediators race to pull it back from the brink, President Trump said the ceasefire was still in place.
Japan's lower house of parliament voted in the first round of balloting to make conservative China critic Sanae Takaichi the country's first woman prime minister. She will formally take office after meeting with the emperor later Tuesday. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
The Bucks are ready to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks kick off their season at home this Wednesday night when they take on the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum, and it'll be the first time they face off against former Buck Chris Middleton, who they traded to Washington last season. Doc Rivers says they're planning a special video tribute to Middleton during the game. How come?
Because he's a Buck for life, no matter where he's at. Pat Connaughton's a Buck for life, Brooke Lopez, and so we lost three of those guys from last year. Chris will be the first one coming back. And, you know, the Milwaukee fans are phenomenal. So, you know, it's so funny. The one thing I'm not worried about is, like, usually the question, if this was a lot of other places, are you think the fans are going to boo? Of course not. They're not. We traded him. He won a title for us, and he's a Buck. And he's part of this community. Good as he was all on the court, I thought he was a superstar off the court. Him and his wife, with all the things they did for the community.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. At this past weekend's box office, horror was king. Not a huge surprise with Halloween right around the corner, but give some credit to good reviews and a solid sequel as Black Phone 2 landed at number 1 with $26.2 million at the gate. The original Black Phone also had decent reviews and opened with about $23 million at the box office. Coming in second place was last week's winner, Tron Aris, which pulled in about $11 million. Good Fortune came in at number 3 in its first week of release with pretty good reviews for this comedy that brought in just over $6 million. One Battle After Another brought in $4 million in its fourth week in theaters for a total haul of about $62 million domestically. Action comedy True Story Roofman brought in $3.5 million in its second week. According to Variety, despite Black Phone 2's impressive weekend, the results were a bit lackluster. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, join me, Dan Haney, weekday mornings for all news all morning from 6 until 9 on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, passing showers, cold and windy. Low tonight in the mid-40s, high tomorrow in the mid-50s. At times, wind gusts above 30 miles an hour. Temps slowly warm through the rest of the week. Right now, it's 48.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and podcast host Jimmy Pardo, then Mission 1 Billion co-founders Rex Sykes and Rocky Wagenhurst join the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Going to get to lots of news happening here. I'm going to tell you why, and this is serious, why I agree with Donald Trump and Speaker Mike Johnson that the No Kings rally was dangerous. I'm going to give you a specific example to prove that. Also, some breaking news out of Washington we're going to get to in just a minute. But first of all, want to finish up, I believe, Troy in beautiful Mount Horeb, listening on WMDX here out of Madison. Troy, did you want to play button up what's worse here? What's worse, bad singing or absolutely bad dancing?
Give me a D-flat. Bad singing is worse.
Well, now, Troy, I have a feeling you're an actual better singer than that.
Not much.
But look, Troy, by the way, we got you on the phone here. You are one of our winners in those tickets for the world premiere of the great film, new film, No Packers, yes, No Life last week. You were down there with your lovely wife. We got to see you, as Amherst and I did. Give us a quick review. Be honest. What do you think of No Packers, No Life?
I wish I could have called when you were talking about it the past couple of days before, but I couldn't. Anyways, it was fantastic. My wife said on the way home, that was a feel-good movie, and we needed that in these times.
100%.
And it was fantastic, you know.
Well, I'm really glad you enjoyed it.
I loved it.
Glad you enjoyed it, and glad your wife was. Thank you for coming down, guys. Great to see you. Yeah. Also, Jim in Brookfield was there. Got to see him and his wonderful wife.
It was good meeting you, Zomers.
Yeah, you too. Absolutely.
Thanks, Troy. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to MDX in Madison. And I believe Terry in Cross Plains wasn't able to get there for the reception, but she and her son were there for the movie. We just didn't work out to meet them. So
yes, and I believe Brett and Brown Deer. I know
was also there.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. So to all of our winners last week, thank you for being there. The film is still in theaters. If you want it to be extended beyond this week, get out and see it. I'm going tomorrow again with my buddies Rob and Jeff, Weedy and Scan Dan. Three old guys going to go to the 9:10 at Marcus Cinema here in Madison.
Now, if we can stay awake.
Yes, we'll try to stay awake. But get out there and see it. Again, this great story of Japanese Packer fans coming over to Wisconsin and the relationships. It's a great feel-good movie, great for Packer fans. But also, even if you're not a sports fan, you're going to get something out of it. No Packers, No Life. You can learn more about the film at nopackersnolife.com. NoPackersNoLife.com, or you can buy tickets for the movie by going to MarcusTheaters.com. MarcusTheaters.com, showing in Southeast Wisconsin, here in Madison, La Crosse, Gurnee, Illinois, Green Bay, Wisconsin as well, and maybe other select theaters. So check it out. Go out there, because just like Just a Bit Outside, the Brewers film, if you want this to come to your town, then get out and see it soon. Another place. You know, the more people go, the more Marcus will keep it around, because at the end of the day, it's all comes down to the dollar sign, as Jack said. So,
and it is another one that's great to watch with a crowd, because it's just fun. It's such a pure bundle of joy.
Absolutely. 38 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Lots to get to. This breaking news, I was going to say not much surprises me anymore, but it was unexpected, but it shouldn't be. And during the last break, I want to make sure this is real. That's the era we live in. Just because you have a photo doesn't mean it's real. But confirming this through multiple news agencies at this hour, this one from the Washington Post, as of about 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago. Demolition crews this afternoon began tearing down part of the White House. to build President Donald Trump's long-desired ballroom despite his pledge. The construction of the $250 million addition would not, quote-unquote, interfere with the existing building. Construction teams were demolishing a portion of the East Wing with a backhoe ripping through the structure, according to a photo shared with the Washington Post and two people who witnessed the activity and spoke on the condition of anonymity to describe it. A cluster of people, including members of the Secret Service, stood on the steps of the Treasury Department to watch the construction unfold, said one of the people. Sounds of construction were also audible on the White House campus. Trump has long touted his plans for a 90,000-square-foot structure that would nearly double the footprint of the main building and its east and west wings. He had also suggested the construction would not affect the existing White House. Again, Washington Post, amongst other major news organizations, confirming with photographs of people at the scene, despite saying he would not, Donald Trump demolishing part of the current White House in order to build his Gilded Age ballroom. And yet the government today is shut down, people not getting paid, cutting off SNAP benefits after this month. Military people not getting paid either. The era of Donald Trump. All right. I told you I'd reveal this. Sorry to keep it going so long. Trump and Mike Johnson, several MAGA Republicans, warned that the No Kings rally over the weekend could be dangerous, hostile, life-threatening even. Well, guess what? They were right in one instance. And by the way, I don't hear this being talked about much today on major networks. You would think a story like this might be in the first 10 minutes of a national newscast. But thank goodness for the reporting of the New York Times. The place that things got dangerous at the No Kings rally was in California. But it's not exactly what Trump and Mike Johnson might have thought. Because the danger didn't come from the people participating in the No Kings rally. It came from the Trump administration itself. Dateline, California. A 155-millimeter shell fired during a live fire demonstration for the 250th anniversary of the Marine Corps at Camp Pendleton on Saturday prematurely detonated, dropping fragments of the shell on a California Highway Patrol vehicle and motorcycle that were part of Vice President J.D. Vance's protective detail, according to a patrol report. No officers were hurt in the mishap, which dropped shrapnel onto the vehicles parked on a ramp to a major freeway that had been ordered closed by Governor Gavin Newsom. The governor had objected to the plan to fire over the freeway, Interstate 5, and ordered a 17-mile stretch closed against the guidance of military officials who said it was safe for it to remain open. This is an incredible story. And did we mention this last week? I forget.
I don't think so.
I had it printed. Again, it was one of those days where I had so much news to talk about, I could only get to one thing. But I was going to say that not many people are talking that the strategy by Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary, and Trump was, hey, it's the 250th anniversary of the Marine Corps, which, by the way, salute them. Wonderful. But they thought, okay, we'll send Vance out to California and we will shoot off live ordnance across a major interstate to disrupt the No Kings rally in Southern California, because it was close to where one of these big protests were supposed to happen, and that will really tick off the protesters. Gavin Newsom said, you're not flying live ordnance across a freeway. So he shut it down, saying, you're putting people in danger. And the military and Trump and Hegseth said, oh, you're overreacting, knowing this was going to cause this big disruption and that it would turn, you know, difficult for people in California and make Newsom look like the idiot. Well, it turns out that Gavin Newsom may well have saved people's lives because the military set off a live ordnance, flew it across Interstate 5, 155-millimeter shell, and it malfunctioned. And it exploded over the freeway, and guess what it hit? It didn't hit the protesters because Gavin Newsom kept them away. It hit our law enforcement, the very people that MAGA and Trump say they support. This could have killed someone. Back to the New York Times story, Mr. Newsom had warned the Marine Corps about their plans to fire artillery shells over Interstate 5, the West Coast main north-south artery, could pose hazards for motorists on the stretch between Los Angeles and San Diego. The closure he ordered on Saturday caused significant backups on the portion of the interstate, which is used by approximately 80,000 people daily. Mr. Newsom said in the statement, quote, "We love our Marines and we owe a debt of gratitude to Camp Pendleton, but next time the vice president and the White House should not be so reckless with people's lives for their vanity projects," unquote. I mean, this is unbelievable. They are now flying 155 live millimeter live shells over the public just because, to show off, to make it difficult for the No Kings Rally folks. The Marines, according to the New York Times, fired howitzer shells across Interstate 5 on Friday evening as a rehearsal, apparently without incident. The Marine Corps said before the event that the exercise would occur, quote, "on approved training ranges and compounds with established safety protocols," unquote, without the need to close public roads. Thank goodness. Gavin Newsom said, maybe we should be a little bit more careful. Live ordnance shells.
I mean, common sense is just gone with these people ordering these actions. Because why would you do this? Why would you fire live ordnance over people's heads?
It's a little unbelievable, quite frankly. I want to go again. I want to move this along because we might spend some more time on this tomorrow. This from the Washington Post today. Headline, Rubio promised to betray U.S. informants to get Trump's El Salvador prison deal. This, again, a story not being talked about today. Quote, in the days before the Trump administration deported hundreds of Venezuelan immigrants to the notorious prison in El Salvador, the president of that country demanded something for himself. The return of nine MS gang leaders from U.S. custody. Secretary of State Marco Rubio on March 13th on a phone call with Salvadoran President Nayib Bukele promised the request would be fulfilled, according to officials familiar with the conversation. But there was one obstacle. Some of the MS-13 members Bukele wanted were quote-unquote informants under the protection of the U.S. government, Rubio told Bukele. To deport them to El Salvador, Attorney General Pam Bondi would need to terminate the U.S. Justice Department's arrangements with those men, Rubio said. He assured Bukele that Bondi would complete that process and Washington would hand over the MS-13 leaders. Rubio's extraordinary pledge illustrates the extent to which the Trump administration was willing to meet Bukele's demands as they negotiated. Rubio and Trump sold out U.S. informants in a witness protection program to get a political deal done. The dangers of this I cannot explain to you, but we'll attempt to do it on the other side. It's the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Matt Nair on Air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one Department of Agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, it's Dan Haney. Join me weekday mornings between 6 and 9 as 540 WAUK presents All News All Morning. We start the day with everything you need to feel informed. Stuart J. Waddles has Milwaukee and local news three times an hour, followed by Leslie Lotto from the Civic Media State News Desk, CBS News, Mike Clemens in sports, traffic and weather, money and market updates. Start your morning drive with All News All Morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
World, national, local, and state news with sports, traffic, weather, and money news. All news, all morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 540 WAUK.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes now before the hour of 4 o'clock, the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to. Check of weather, our great sports reporter Mike Clemens on details of the Packers. I talk about that a little bit more tomorrow as well. Eked out a win. Micah Parsons basically saved the game in that new kicker. A history record-setting kick for the Packers. Clemens love details on that. And then another great edition of the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 until 6, followed by a great edition of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. All right, lots to get to here in the last few minutes. This Washington Post story that Secretary of State Marco Rubio cut a deal with Salvadoran President Nayib Bukele in order to get these Venezuelans to the Salvadoran CICAT prison without due process. Bukele said he'd do it, but you've got to release these former MS-13 gang members that you have in the United States. Rubio says, great, but guess what? There's a couple, three of them here that were informants that helped us, and so we put them in a witness protection program. And Bukele says, I don't care. I want him back. So Rubio tells Pam Bondi, after she got a new hair extension, apparently, hey, you got to basically break the law, put years of U.S. protocol at risk. All these promises that if you inform will protect you, gone. The Washington Post writes the deal would give Bukele possession of individuals who threatened to expose the alleged deals his government made with MS-13 to help achieve El Salvador's historic drop in violence, officials said. For the Salvadoran president, a return to the informants was viewed as critical to preserving his tough-on-crime reputation. Here's the deal. Cut to the chase. some of these people that Rubio, the Trump administration, Bondi returned that were under witness protection programs in the United States, they were informing and exposing people that were part of Bukele's cabinet who had cut deals with MS-13. And Bukele wanted them back to make sure they were permanently silenced. That's what's going on. Marco Rubio was willing to cut this deal. Here's Rubio back in 2016. 2016, this was what little Marco said when he was running against Trump for president.
Let me tell you something. I will never quit. I will never stop until we keep a con man from taking over the party of Reagan and the conservative movement. He's a con man. He's a con man. He's a con man. I'll tell you why. Number one, people are angry and frustrated and scared about the future. Okay? People are working harder than they've ever worked in their lives, and they're running in place. And he swoops in and is taking advantage of that. He's taking advantage of that. He's telling people, I'm going to fight for the little guy. I'm fighting for the working class. Here's what he doesn't tell them. He has spent a career in business, 50 years, sticking it to the little guy. Sticking it to the little guy. When his companies went bankrupt, the first people that didn't get paid were the subcontractors, the plumbers and the pipe fitters and the people that laid bricks and all those people that worked for a living. They didn't get paid.
That's Marco Rubio from 2016. It goes on. What happened to that guy? Want to get to this? Play this before we go. From 60 Minutes last night, the great reporter Scott Pelley interviewing a whistleblower from the Department of Justice who went on 60 Minutes last night. If you think this stuff in the Trump administration has stopped happening, think again. Here is part of the interview last night on what's going on inside the Department of Justice.
At the beginning of the second Trump administration, you were promoted again.
That's right. Very soon into the administration, I was selected to be the acting deputy director of the immigration section, overseeing about 100 attorneys and every case that arose in the federal district courts.
But it was the very day of that promotion, Friday, March 14th, that he and others were called to a fateful meeting with Emil Bovee, President Trump's newly appointed number three at the Justice Department, who was once Trump's criminal defense attorney.
And we were told at this meeting that over the weekend, the President of the United States would be signing a proclamation invoking something called the Alien Enemies Act. This is a wartime law from 1798, invoked three times in the nation's history during the War of 1812, World War I, and World War II.
The Alien Enemies Act allows rapid expulsion from the U.S. of the citizens of enemy nations during a war. But without a declared war, Trump used it against more than 100 Venezuelans that the government said were terrorists. They were to be denied their right to be heard by a judge. Ruvaney says Bovee expected a challenge.
Bovee emphasized those planes need to take off no matter what. And then after a pause, he also told all in attendance, and if some court should issue an order preventing that, we may have to consider telling that court, f*** you.
And when you heard that, you thought what?
Felt like a bomb had gone off. Here is the number three official using expletives to tell career attorneys that we may just have to consider disregarding federal court orders.
That is a chilling cut from last night's 60 Minutes program on CBS. The great reporter Scott Pelley, this whistleblower, and God bless him for having the courage to come forward, telling this story, the first person. This episode that we just talked about for the Washington Post where Marco Rubio sold out people that were in the witness protection program after being informants that were sent back to El Salvador so Bukele of El Salvador could protect his own rear end politically. After that, now we hear that the number three person in the U.S. Department of Justice is telling attorneys, if the courts say no, we might have to say F you and ignore it. This is why No Kings rallies are important. This is why it's important we come forward and know we have a community. There were enough of us are going to say, and Republicans, former Republicans, Democrats, independents alike say enough. We're not doing this. And that's why it matters. And that's why I'm so proud of each and every one of you who spoke up, who went out and participated. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next, back tomorrow. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow.
We're a civic media station.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. With the government shutdown now in its third week, Senate Majority Leader John Thune says he hopes to bring a bill to the floor this week to pay essential workers. But congressional correspondent Nicole Killian says a successful vote to fund and reopen the government is no closer.
Republican leaders remain frustrated by Democrats' posture. They simply want them to sign on to government funding and provide more votes in the Senate. However, Democratic leaders continue to insist that Republicans need to come to the negotiating table with respect to the issue of health care, more specifically extending the subsidies under the Affordable Care Act that are due to expire at the end of this year.
At the White House, a mineral deal was sealed at a meeting between President Trump and Australia's Prime Minister Anthony Albanese.
The two leaders signed a rare earths and critical minerals agreement. The deal, which President Trump said